what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be happy, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born. May all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none, through anger or ill will, wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart, should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, wishing upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
Anybody who hasn't meditated before here, or old members, not old by age, I mean. All right. So basically, you all have the basic instruction. Now the trick is, after coming from your job or coming from whatever busyness you had in the world, to settle down a little bit, like the. What is interesting enough for the mind that it's can be interested in peace. Then the inspiration could be to calm the body down, that your healing faculties get strengthened. Or if you feel restless, the aim could be tonight just to try and find a place in the mind where there is relaxation, where there is that happiness of not having to worry about anything. And if you suffer from anxiety, and this is the place of safety for you, as a place of non-harming and the place of friendliness. So I cannot look into your minds. You have to figure out yourself what is happening out there. And it's good if you try to find something that makes meditation an enjoyable experience for you. It should not be another burden for the mind. It should be something that the mind is happy to go to. It should be a refuge. But if we can't make that place a happy place, then the mind does not want to go there. So always keep in mind the major aim of the meditation should be first that you make that something that is pleasant for you. It's not about concentration and not about force. It's about being able to deal with your mind in a way that you interested, that it really wants to look there, right? That peace becomes something beautiful, something that is attractive, right? As attractive as a whatever you're attracted to, a beautiful walk in nature, or as attractive, even more attractive, maybe as attractive as a great movie, or a conversation with a good friend. Something like that. And that conversation that is going on in your mind should always be like with a good friend. And especially in your meditation, that trick to learn how to have the inner monologue in a way that it's a beautiful, beautiful way of dealing with oneself. This using an attitude in your own mind that is always encouraging and not critical and not sort of nasty, trying to push you in a certain direction. Should be something that is trustworthy. And if we establish that inner monologue in a way that it becomes something that we can trust, then one obstacle is restlessness, especially fear, is not going to come up. Because you know how to basically your thoughts and your feelings are gonna trust that you sit here and you mean well. Huh? And if you treat yourself well for a long time, then there's less and less doubt coming up in your mind that you're going in a direction where the mind is safe. As an important aspect, sometimes we're not enough aware of that, of this inner monologue talking the whole time, or tone of voice the monologue has. And often we find that there are old patterns, sometimes from parents or siblings or other relatives, who might have crept into our minds, and they might not give the right encouragement. Because we want to learn, we don't want to punish. The mind likes to be happy. So we just have to show it something happy, actually, and then it's going to go in that direction all by itself. So I give a little bit of a meditation, not instruction, because you all know what you want to do. The major focus, like I said, please try to be aware if the inner monologues gets critical. No? If it gets still, beautiful, you can stay with your breath or with your kasina or with your body contemplation or sweeping or whatever you do. Actually, that's none of my business. You all meditated before. Just I encourage you to use that group here. To bring up that kind attitude in your mind, that you have a feeling of happiness, whatever is happening. If the mind has a lot of stuff to think about, be kind to it. Don't give nasty comments or whatnot, and it might settle down by itself. It's the only thing that is working is encouragement. Huh? We have that opportunity to sit together for half an hour with people who are interested in doing that, and that is so bloody, bloody rare. Huh? I just mentioned a few days ago that even in the monastery now, when people go to the Dhamma talk and people sit there meditating already, there's still the groups coming in. what the hell? This is the Dhamma hall, shut up. And sort of, you almost feel like the one disturbing the people who want to talk because you sit there meditating. So this is really a step in a completely different direction. And just is, and usually I'm not a big group meditator. I never like that so much, but I appreciate that really from time to time people just coming together and trying to go together in that direction, because it's very encouraging and can be very helpful. So we do about 5 minutes of preparation, go a little bit through the body. You go to your meditation object, whatever you want to do, and pay a little bit of attention of where the mind is going and what sort of attitude the mind has in its comments. And if you feel it's not that pleasant, try to be that kind that you can handle the unpleasantness in the mind. We make the body as comfortable as we can, that we're safe, that we know that we're not going to harm the body. And apart from that, we're gonna be pretty fine here for half an hour. Alright, so please sit in a way that your back is not too tight, your feet have a nice distance to the chair. People on the ground, obviously, you do what you're doing there. So we'll start with the feet. You can wriggle a little bit, and we're trying to make sure that the feet are completely relaxed and in the positions that the legs are straight up, that they're not going to cause any discomfort later on. Always just sure for half an hour this body in that position is going to be completely safe. Even if there's a tiny bit of pain, it's going to not cause any damage in the body. So we go through the body now and make sure that it's as relaxed as possible. And the more we can do that, the safer and the more sure we are that the mind has a chance to relax as well. Because they're in direct connection with each other, the body and the mind. So we start with the body and feet, wiggle my toes a little bit and now my feet. Hopefully I'm in a good position. And then I go up my legs. And I check my bum, sitting in a good position. So those of you who are wearing trousers, make sure that your belly can expand. And when you breathe in, that usually the belly comes out a little bit. And if there's too much restriction, it's very hard to relax. So feel comfortable to open your button or whatnot. Just make sure. And to feel if that's alright, please take a deep breath in. Really pump yourself up, your shoulders up, all the way in until the belly comes up. And when you breathe out, you relax the shoulders and the whole upper part of the body. And I find that always very helpful to know that the body is in a good position. If I sit on a chair or if I sit on the ground, it doesn't make any difference. And when your shoulders are coming down, you also feel that your head and your neck go towards a certain direction to keep your body in balance. It's completely automatic. And then we don't have to fiddle around if the head is too far in the front or the back. Just if we're breathing, without much effort. You can check your hands on your lap now. Exactly comfortable, but you don't have to have any effort. And if they lie correctly, then there should be very little strain on your shoulders and neck as well. Should be supported. And if you have the feeling during the meditation there's still a little bit of tension, you can always do a deep breath, pump yourself up, and then do a deep out breath, and then relax with the out breath. It's usually very helpful to relax the body as much as we can. And now last, we go through our face, check your mouth. Hope there is no tension around the mouth, only around my mouth because I'm talking still. And if you don't know, Ajahn Brahm's method works. Give a little smile and relax the smile. Eyes are closed very gently. And now the forehead completely relaxes. If you for some reason still after a while have some pain and it's too unpleasant, please move. Don't fight against the pain. Remember, our attitude is the most important part here during that meditation. We keep it nice and we keep it interesting if we can. See if we can make stillness attractive. What happens if we don't have to do anything? All the busyness is completely not interesting for half an hour. don't have to leave this moment. There's nothing to figure out. Just for this short while, we're blessed with the opportunity of not having to do anything. Do a deep breath, pump yourself up, and then do a deep out breath, and then relax with the out breath. It's usually very helpful. We relax the body as much as we can. do a deep breath, pump yourself up, and then do a deep out breath, and then relax with the out breath. It's usually very helpful. We relax the body as much as we can. do a deep breath, pump yourself up, and then do a deep out breath, and then relax with the out breath. It's usually very helpful. Relax the body as much as we can. do a deep breath, pump yourself up, and then do a deep out breath, and then relax with the out breath. It's usually very helpful to relax the body as much as we can. Do a deep breath, pump yourself up, and then do a deep out breath, and then relax with the out breath. It's usually very helpful to relax the body as much as we can. So I think the a good and interesting thing with the meditation is this: if we say, "Okay, mind, you don't have to do anything," and it just doesn't stop, it goes on, other thinking, and then perception, the crickets, you hear the cars more loudly driving by. You feel the temperature in the room. This perception just going on and on and on without us having to do anything. And that is, I find that aspect in Buddhism of anatta, of this non-self, always very helpful. What is non-self? What does it mean? Is that the body? The body, myself. I'm getting older. Started with 30, now I'm 50. Yeah. My good years are over. No more chance to get a pretty chick. And so that's not up to me, just little by little falls apart. So the body is not myself. I can say that. I cannot tell the body what to do, cannot tell it to be different. Same with the feelings. I'm constantly changing this feelings. A little bit more happy, a little bit more grumpy, a little bit more annoyed, a little bit more sad, a little bit more depressed, a little bit more this, a little bit more that, and just go on and on and on and on. So who is in charge of that stuff? Is there somebody in the background who could say, actually, no feelings, don't be like that, be happy now? Also doesn't work. So that's also this concept of self that we have, that's me. Me, my body, my feelings, my thoughts, my will. What is with your thoughts and your will? We sit in the meditation, tell the mind, okay mind, you don't have to think for half an hour. And then blah, 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 and you're thinking. Who is the thinker in the background? So thoughts are not myself either. Who is that? Who is that there? It's not somebody else as well, hopefully. we're not possessed or this perception, like I said, just go on and on and on, just completely out of control. All sticking together with thoughts and feelings, and this mishmash going on and on and on, and then our vinyana, I don't like consciousness as I call it the tendencies, the stuff that wants certain things and dislikes other things. This is also very particular to each person, but it doesn't. We don't own it. That I like cheese with some garlic in the afternoon. You might not like that. Or I like bread. I grew up with bread in Germany. Other people from England, they grow up with bacon and eggs or whatever. Or porridge. So that these are these tendencies that we the things in the mind where we grow up with, and we were told, oh yeah, this is tasty actually, and this is how we do it actually, and this is our culture, and this is our this is your mom, and this is your dad, and this is your brother, and so on. And then we get all this stuff that likes things and doesn't like other stuff. But we don't own that either. I cannot decide right now, actually, from now on, actually, I'm not gonna like this anymore. Or I'm gonna like pineapple. I don't like pineapple. I cannot decide I'm gonna like pineapple in the next moment. So when we meditate, we see all this stuff coming up, the thoughts and the feelings, and we need, if we don't develop from the very beginning this that tiny bit of kindness, and we cannot develop this watch, or that the guy who steps a little bit back and sees what's going on, sees, oh, these are thoughts, usually, oh, these are my thoughts, zoom, That is, I don't like that we should, the windows, the doors should be closed, that it's not so loud in here, and the air conditioning should have been switched off, blah, blah, blah. This is immediate reaction to something. And in the meditation, if it's kind enough, there's this little bit of willing to bear with whatever is going on in that moment. Eh? We try to make it nice, but it's not going to be perfect, we know that. But if that kindness is there in the mind, then there's that willingness to see, oh yes, so it's coming up now. Wow. Car driving by. I'm just speaking that now. I don't mean that you have to comment everything in your mind. That's obviously not the point. But it's just this whatever is happening without us interfering with it. And then the mind is looking around at, oh, where the hell do I go now, actually? If I don't interfere, if I don't do anything now. And then I hope you have something. You're either comfortable with your breath. I'm staying with the breath because I know my body is breathing. If I want it or not, if I sleep, if I fall unconscious, or whatever, that thing keeps on breathing until I die. And if it stops breathing, well, that's it. Basically, then bye-bye anyway, fair enough. So, but if it's for you something else, you like to stick with something first, good. But I hope there comes the point where that if you're counting, then the counter is going to go into the background. If you're visualizing something, then that activeness of visualizing something is going to go into the background. And just this looking, what is happening, is coming up. This non-controlling of what is going on. And without kindness, we can't find any happiness there. Because we're going to react to anything that is coming up that is a tiny bit unpleasant. A memory that comes up, or a wish, something that we like to happen tomorrow, or we don't like to happen tomorrow. Things like that. They grab importance in your meditation again, because this kindness of being there, just seeing this as a thought coming up. It's not my thought coming up. It's this conditioning of thought coming up. And this feelings coming up. And if we establish a little bit of this interest and that kindness, and there might be an unpleasant feeling, or there's something that we associate normally with an unpleasant feeling can come up. And if we look kindly on it, there's no problem with it. I'm not talking about real physical pain now. This is very, very difficult. Take your painkillers. But I mean this little discomforts, or states of mind, anxiety, maybe something usually causes anxiety in that moment. But that anxiety is a thought process. And if that kindness is aware, oh, it's a thought process, yeah, okay, what are you going to talk about? And then that energy, that negativity is taken out of the equation in that moment. And I hope that you meditation is getting in that direction. No? And a little bit more awareness that this, what we call ourselves, is completely out of control. No? This is not, it's nobody there that decides all of these things. And there's nothing more there than these five khandhas, five aggregates. No? There's nothing more there than body, feeling, perception, thoughts, will. And this tendencies that basically are pulling and pushing us in different directions. And we can see that as a threat, or as, oh, where am I now, or whatnot, or we can see that just, wow, that really takes the pressure off the shoulders. This is a conditioned process going on there. And if I want to make that whole experience more pleasant, it's very good to figure out how that process works. And it doesn't work with ill will and force and anything. We don't need all that stuff because the mind has everything embedded in itself already. The mind cannot do different than wanting to be happy. That is what the mind wants in each and every moment, wanting to be happy. So if we just realize what cannot make the mind happy, the mind is not going to go there. If we realize that pushing and cruelty and getting our own will done by whatever means makes the mind very coarse and alienates people, if we see that clearly, the mind lets go of that. You don't have to tell the mind, let go of that, it is not good for you. No, if the mind sees this is an action that causes me more suffering than other people, boom, it's gonna drop. And that is wisdom then. And it doesn't take that effort of ill will and will itself. It just takes this skill of seeing what is harmful and what is a direction where less suffering is gonna be is gonna come our way in the future. And I hope your meditation gets you in that direction, that you get this watcher friendly enough and see the processes clearly. Take the hand a little bit off the wheel, and then in the end you realize you never had a wheel in your hand in the first place. it was just a Fata Morgana. I hope you use it in a skillful way, that I don't scare you with stuff like that. That's not my intention. Just if you use it skillfully, the way I try to use it is it's for me always you take the blame away from stuff. Yeah? It's conditioned, and I'm still stupid in certain situations, but the better we see through that our own stupidity, the sooner it's gonna fall away. Just the realization of what is causing more suffering. So I wish you all the best with that.
And thank you, Ajahn.
Thank you.
Any questions? The chanting, we used to do that sun and the moon chanting, beautiful. Now let us chant the verses of sharing and aspiration.
May my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all gracious beings of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless through the goodness that arises from my practice and through this act of sharing. May all desires and attachments quickly cease and all harmful states of mind, until I realize Nirvana in every kind of birth. May I have an upright mind with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge, unsurpassed is the protection of the Dhamma. The solitary Buddha is my noble lord. The Sangha is my supreme support. through the supreme power of all holies, may darkness and delusion be dispelled.
Well, some people like it, I heard, so...